The second candle of Advent is the Bethlehem candle, a quiet call to remember the preparation made by Mary and Joseph for the events around Bethlehem and the preparations we are called upon to make every day as we live life in Jesus Christ.
Around 700 years before the Incarnation, Isaiah spoke of the glory of God to be revealed in Jesus Christ.
I read from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, a voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of God will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Today, as we look at John 11, we see the glory of God revealed in and through the incarnation of Christ, as Christ raises Lazarus from the dead.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.
During this Christmas season, we are looking at encounters that people have had with Jesus Christ. Last week, we saw how Jesus had healed a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And then after this healing, because of this, because it was on the Sabbath, because Jesus, after this healing had literally claimed to be God, the religious people began plotting to kill him. And then when we get to our chapter this morning, where we'll be, and you can turn there, John chapter 11. By the time we get to John chapter 11 from John chapter 5 last week, attempts have already been made on the life of Jesus Christ. Word on the street is, Jesus, stay away from Judea. Don't go to Judea. There's a price on your head. You'll die if you go there. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they all live in Judea. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are some of Jesus' best friends. Here they are in Judea, and these sisters, Mary and Martha, send word to Jesus. Lord, the one you love, your friend Lazarus, he's terribly sick. So what will Jesus do? What will he do? Before we look at that, I want to give you a hook, as it were, to in your mind to hang this story on. It's just this. Perspective. Perspective. What I mean by perspective here is a point of view. Heavenly versus earthly. Godly versus ungodly. Perspective, looking from above as opposed from looking at ground level, is what this story is going to allow us to do. When I was in seminary, the president of the seminary at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in a suburb north of Chicago, by the name of Dr. Ken Meyer, he told this story. He was flying back into Chicago one day in the Chicago O'Hare Airport, and as his plane was coming in, he looked down upon the freeway, and it was just this colossal traffic jam. People were standing on their cars, on their bumpers, and trying to look ahead and see what was going on, and because everything was just stopped. But from the plane, he could see northward up the freeway, and he could see all these flashing lights and the emergency personnel, and he could tell that they were taking care of the problem, and they would be taken care of quickly. So his plane lands. He hops in his car. He jumps on the very same freeway with all those people. But something's different for him. He has perspective. You see, he knows, unlike the average traveler, he knows that he'll be home soon. Because perspective changed everything. Question for you this morning as we look at this story. Do you see your problems from above? Or do you view them from ground level? This story is going to offer us perspective, view from above, God's perspective. Two of the, I think, key verses here, verse 4 of John 11. This sickness, Jesus says about Lazarus, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it. Perspective. Verse 40, Jesus speaking to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, that you would see the glory of God? Perspective. This morning we'll look at three points of view in this recording of perhaps Jesus' most incredible miracle that John records in his attempt to give us perspective, to give us evidence. And that's what John is doing all throughout the book. He's giving us evidence that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is very God. And that by believing on Him, that we can have life now and we can have life forever. So the three points of view that we're going to look at this morning is, number one, the perspective of love. Then secondly, the perspective of joy. And then the perspective of pain. So let's take these three. First, this perspective of love. At first glance, I mean, it really seems like an odd display of love. Look at verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, or Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, or therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there two more days. Sounds like an odd display of love, doesn't it? Well, as I said, these were some of Jesus' best friends. He had probably stayed with this family many times. Bethany was only a couple of miles from Jerusalem, and so when he would go to the feast there in Jerusalem, he probably stayed with them over and over. As a matter of fact, what's today, the fifth day of Hanukkah? If it would have been today and they were living, he would have been staying with them right now in their home. You know about Mary and Martha. You know about the story of how Martha is thought of as this lady who's always busy because of the story recorded in Luke of how Jesus is in their home at an occasion and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and she's listening and she's learning and Martha's busy cooking and cleaning and doing all these things and Martha gets frustrated and Jesus, you know, tell Martha to come help me. No, Martha. Mary is doing what is best. She's doing what is good. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. That probably happened about 2 years before the event that we're speaking of here in chapter 11. And now, Lazarus is sick. And his sisters send word, Lord, Lord, the one you love is sick. Perspective? Perspective? Many of you have heard this year. The one you love is sick. Or maybe even you heard the one you love has died. Or maybe you heard you don't have a job anymore. Or maybe you don't have a home anymore. Whether it's from a flood or a foreclosure or whatever it may have been. Or maybe you've heard that your reputation has been soiled. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Or maybe you've heard and you're filling in the blanks in your mind of other things that you've heard this past year. At ground level, we have many questions, don't we? God, do you really care? God, how is your goodness to be seen in this? Well, the first perspective that we get here in this story is that Jesus knows the gut-wrenching feelings that you have. Lord, the one you love, Jesus, your friend, the one you love, he's sick. Nothing happens to you and me in which the Lord Jesus Christ has not gone before us. Now, what did the disciples hear? Well, they heard Jesus say, this sickness will not end in death. So they're probably thinking, oh, well, okay, his friend Lazarus, he's sick. It must not be too terrible, though, because it's not going to end in death. And by the way, we're not going over there to Judea anyway. Because if we go there, I mean, what are we going to do? Just go there and die with him? I mean, there's a price out for him. But you see, we know more than the disciples. Because we've read ahead. We know the story. We know that Lazarus is dead. And we know what's about to happen. And we also know that Jesus stayed two more days, though. Two more days. Two more days. Jesus, why? Why not go to Mary and Martha right then? Why not go ahead and take care of their pain? Why not go ahead and help them? I mean, he could go and he could take care of this right now. Why don't you go now? But again, it helps us to understand the perspective of love. Because you see, from the perspective of true godly love, the love of Jesus is paramount. The love of Jesus, its ultimate, its all-sufficient goal is not my comfort. It's not that my pain is always eased. It's the glory of God. That's the ultimate goal of His love. The ultimate goal was for Him not to go to Mary and Martha and make sure that they were comfortable and there was never any pain and everything was easy, just like nothing had ever happened. The ultimate goal in the love of Christ was helping them see, to experience, and to participate in the glory of God, to help them get it, if you will. That's what He wanted to do. He wants His followers to get it, to be attentive to God. Do you know what kind of difference this would make in our lives? If we have this kind of perspective, if this kind of perspective were driving us moment by moment, if we really believed that God's glory is truly ultimate, we'd still mourn, we'd still hurt, We'd still cry. I mean, certainly Jesus did. But some of the whining and complaining and the lack of trust that happens, it just wouldn't be there anymore. With real perspective, God, give us this perspective. Dennis Weller called me yesterday morning. We'd been trying to talk, and we talked a little bit during the week. Dennis is a part of our church family, he and Diane and all of their boys. And they live in Vernonia. They drive in from Vernonia every Sunday morning and Wednesday and other times to be with our church family. And we were talking about the flooding in Vernonia. And he said some 400 homes were affected by this, and the water was 6-7 feet deep going through the town. And a gas station had just had their gas tank filled up underground, and it burst, and there's gasoline everywhere, and there's sewage and garbage flowing in homes and businesses. And he said, it's just ugly. It's just ugly. And then his statement was, Pastor, I don't know how, but I know somehow the glory of God is going to be worked out in this. That's perspective. But he didn't just sit on that perspective. Then he got his family up, and they went and worked hard. They worked doggedly hard for the glory of God and to serve those people. The perspective of love. But it doesn't happen if our view is confined to ground level. You see, in the story in John 11, he wants to elevate our view. And so then we continue with this perspective of joy. Look down at verse 14. Lazarus, Jesus says to his disciples, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. What? What do you mean, for your sake, I was glad I wasn't there? I mean, if your friend's dying, wouldn't you want to be there with them? What kind of statement is that? Well, keep reading. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Why? So that you may believe. So that you may believe, so let us go. Jesus was glad. Jesus takes great joy in making disciples and making sure we get it. The heart of disciple making, my friends, is helping people be attentive to God and His glory and who He was. And Jesus was glad. He was joyful for an opportunity to expose the glory of God. It gives them an opportunity to see Him and to see me, that I am God. Jesus takes great joy in helping us grow in our faith. Get it? But weren't these already disciples? Weren't they already followers? Hadn't they already left their home and their job and their friends and their family? Hadn't they already left everything to follow Him? Yes. Yes. But He wanted them to grow more, to believe more and more and more and more, just like He does you and me. So He wants us to be attentive to His Father. He wants us to be attentive to who He is and to His work. Look back at verse 7. Jesus said to His disciples, let's go back to Judea. You got to be kidding me, the disciples are thinking. You got to be kidding me. We're not going to go back there. No way. There's a hit order on your life. You escaped the stoning once before. We're not going back there. And then Jesus says in verse 9, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. What in the world is he saying there? Well, here's what he's saying there. He's saying, my time's in my Father's hands. Just like yours. Just like yours. Come with me. Come with me and see the glory of God. He says, come with me and see who God is. Come with me and see and believe. Thomas, verse 16. He has a pretty bad rep, doesn't he? Doubting Thomas. Remember, Jesus rises from the dead and he's not going to believe until he sticks his hand in his side. He's not going to believe until he sees it. Oh, but we see some faith here in verse 16. We see some courage. Thomas, called Didymus, which just means twin. He has a twin. Said to the rest of the disciples, well, let's go. Let's go also, that we may die with him. So they still think, okay, we're going to Judea. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill us. Let's go. He's all in. So they go. They go to the home. On his arrival, verse 17, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, if it were a day's journey from where Jesus and his disciples were, it would have taken a day for the messenger to go out and give the word to Jesus that Lazarus was terribly sick, which the messenger probably didn't know that when he left, Lazarus must have died immediately. Then Jesus waits 2 more days, and then a day's journey back could represent the 4 days that he's waited. So it's been 4 days now that Lazarus has been dead. You can imagine the mourning, the pain of the sisters, and different people are coming and helping them mourn. It was part of their culture. Part of helping with the pain. Martha, she knows Jesus is coming. She gets word. So she runs out to meet him. She runs to meet him before he ever gets to the house. She runs out and says, Lord, Lord, if you'd only been here, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then I think she catches herself. Because you look in verse 22. She says, but I know. I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Why aren't you here? Oh, but I know. Wait, you're still my Lord. He'll give you whatever you ask. I mean, they must have rehearsed this. They must have said this 10,000 times. If only Jesus were here. If only Jesus were here, Lazarus would be okay. If only he were here. The people in the house probably got sick of hearing this. If only Jesus were here. How do I know that? Look at verse 32. When Mary comes out and she sees Jesus, she says the exact same thing. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. Ever felt that way? God, where are you? God, if you'd just been here in this. God, if you had just been there when this happened, where are you? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the joy set before him? Not only the glory of God, oh, it was the glory of God, but that we would get it. But that we would be able to participate in the glory of God. That we would be able to be with Him in the glory of God, to know and see and participate in God in all His glory. Lazarus, then, in this story, he becomes a picture for us. He becomes a picture of what's about to happen in the life of Jesus Christ. He's about to give His life. And then he's going to be raised from the dead. And it's a picture for us. If we're in Christ, if we are with him, of he's raising us. He's going to raise us from the dead as well. Look at what he tells Martha, back to verse 23. Martha, your brother will rise again. He'll rise again. And look at Martha's response. I know. I know. What do you mean you know? He's going to rise again. I know. I mean, it's the Sunday school answer here. It's like for us who've been in church for years and years and years, and we've heard these incredible stories, and, oh, I know. Yeah, we'll rise again at the last day. No, it's bigger than that. I am. Look at what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I am life. I am the resurrection. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. This isn't about information. This isn't about a Sunday school story. This is about transformation. And Martha believes. Yes, Lord. Verse 27. Yes, I do believe. She got it. She got it. For the joy set before him. He wants us to get it, my friends. He wants us to be attentive to God and see His great power, and that we can participate with Him and in Him. And then finally, the perspective of pain. The perspective of pain. One could make a case up to this point that Jesus is really unfeeling, apathetic, stoical here. I mean, think about it. Jesus, your friend, that one that you love, Lazarus, he's terribly sick. What does Jesus do? He waits around a couple of days so that he can teach him a lesson. And he's glad about it. He takes joy in this opportunity. Is that unfeeling? Well, you could make a case for that until you get to verse 33. Because watch this. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and he was troubled. This word deeply moved meant to snort as an expression of anger, to be moved with the deepest of emotions. It was, he was seeing this, and it was this sense of, why the anger, though? Why the anger? It was an anger at Satan, at sin, at death. This is why Jesus was there. This is why he was standing before them in the first place, and he felt it. He was deeply moved. And the Bible goes on to continue to give the graphic description here. And he was troubled. He was disturbed to the recesses of his being. And this word troubled, it's the same word that would be used in the next chapter. You can look there, it's just across the page in my Bible. Look at verse 27. It's the same description here of his heart being troubled as was used to describe his anticipation of his own death, which again was for the glory of God. He says in verse 27 of chapter 12, "Now my heart is troubled. I'm deeply distressed. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Don't make me go through this pain." No. No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father. Perspective? Father. Glorify your name. And then in verse 38 of chapter 11, once more, deeply moved. Over and over we see this. He's deeply moved. He's troubled. And now once more deeply moved, he goes to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Verse 39, "Take away the stone. Take away the stone." "But Lord," Martha says, "by this time, there's a bad odor." I like the way the King James says it. "Lord, by this time, he stinketh." Because he was dead. And he'd been dead 4 days. And you see, there was this superstition that the soul would hover around the body and could return to the body within 3 days. But it was 4 days now. He's really dead. The body's decomposing. The brain's dead. I mean, there are no categories for this kind of miracle. This is only God. The guy's dead, and he wants to make sure we understand that. Take away the stone. Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you that if you believed, You would see the glory of God? Do you want heaven's perspective, he says, so that you can believe? I want you to get it. Here's how you're going to get it. He prays. And then in verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus! Lazarus! Come out!" I love Matthew Henry's quote. Matthew Henry says, he had to say, "Lazarus, come forth." Because if he would have only said, "Come forth," all the dead people would have come out. And then what would have happened? So he says, "Lazarus, come out." And he did. And he said, "Take off the grave clothes." Because he was alive. He was alive. I read this story to our family last Friday night. And we finished the story. And little Gracie was, she was just beaming ear to ear. And she looked at me and she said, Daddy, I love this story. And I said, "Why, Gracie?" And she said, "Because my Sunday school teacher, Linda Leiber, she said, my Sunday school teacher told me this story. And you know what she said, Daddy? She said, one day, for those of us who really believe Jesus, for those of us who really know Him, He's going to say, 'Gracie, come out. Courtney, come out.'" And she went through the people in her class. What about you? Do you believe? Do you have heaven's perspective? Someone you love is sick, has died. You're living in the muck. How are you looking at it? What's your viewpoint? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you'll not grow weary and so that you'll not lose heart. Oh, God. Help us stop looking from ground level. Father, we love You because You first loved us. And Father, we confess to You this morning that our perspective all too often is from ground level. Oh, Father, forgive us. Lord, we're going to go into a meeting here in a little while. God, give us Your perspective, what You have for us, the hope we have in Christ, the God that we serve that raises people from the dead, that raised His own Son from the dead, that's going to raise us from the dead. May we be like Dennis and their family. To God see that Your glory is going to be worked out in our lives somehow. We don't always know. So we go serve You with all that we are. All that we have because it's Yours. Jesus, for the joy set before You. Wrapped up in that joy was us. God, we know our own hearts, so it's hard for us to believe that sometimes. Thank You, God. And now may we adore You and live for You with all that we are.